In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our God speaks and expects us to speak. But fallen man doesn't want to speak, he wants to feel. He wants to feel God's presence among him. He wants to feel loved. He wants to feel accepted by his friends, his family, and by God in general. For some reason, he thinks that his feelings are the true expression of himself, and those feelings are just so profound and deep that they can't be put into words. And so he wants to worship God and experience God through his feelings, thinking that by that he is communicating with God and God with him. So a lot of ooing and aahing with sentimental background music. You see this in secular songs all the time. And sadly, it has also taken effect in the church itself. They're sparse on words, yet dripping with emotion. And this is their so-called religious experience. Yes, we can communicate with sounds. Think of an infant. But also think how frustrated the mother gets when that infant keeps crying after he has been fed, changed, and held. Nothing seems to satisfy him. Words are important. It distinguishes us from those animals that God created. Animals, too, can communicate, but only with sounds. They don't have any words. Even amongst themselves, they are not talking and speaking, but they are communicating through various sounds. Why? Because animals were not created in the image and likeness of God. We were. We speak as God speaks. We communicate as God communicates. And he does not ooh and ah with sentimental background music. He speaks his holy word, and things that were not became. When he went to create man, he pauses. And we hear the divine counsel. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit hold a conversation and talk with one another in clear, intelligible speech, so that all might know what our God is about to do. The Father talked to the Son and to the Spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. No incoherent babble, no sentimental background music to up the emotions, but clear, intelligible words. And since man was crafted after the image and likeness of God, he too speaks in clear and intelligible words. God's words are his words. So speaking words is more than simply communicating information to others. For we are to speak as God speaks. It is the word of God that reveals his heart. And so it is our words that reveal our hearts to one another. Relationships are built upon words. It doesn't matter if it's a husband, wife, a parent, child, friends, co-workers. Every relationship has words as its foundation. And so when those relationships struggle, it's not because they have failed to talk to one another, but it's they failed to reveal their hearts to one another. They have failed to express their inmost desires and wants and needs. Sure, you can talk about the weather. You can talk about all sorts of small talk topics. But true words and communications are meant to reveal your heart. Which is why you don't talk about politics and religion, they say. Because that gets to your very essence. This is also true of God. His words reveal his heart. How do you know that God loves you? You find that in his word. How do you know that you are saved? Through the word, you listen and hear. You don't wait for some feeling in your heart, but you listen as he opens up his word to you to reveal his love for you. You listen that once more you are his forgiven, beloved child. You listen and you hear that nothing will ever snatch you out of your Father's hand. No matter how grand, no matter how simple, you are God's. No ooing and aahing, no incoherent babble that you must somehow interpret, but clear words that reveal the depths of God's heart toward you. And yet it goes even deeper than that. The word of a husband reveals his heart, but then he embodies that word as he lives toward his wife. But the words come first, the vow comes first, and only after that does he then live in accordance with those words. Actions and words match. The same again is true with God. The word is not simply some abstract form of communication that reveals the heart of God to us, but it is embodied in the child of Bethlehem. The word wears flesh and blood to reveal the very heart of the Father in a visible way. And he doesn't just simply reveal the Father or embody the word, but he is one with the Father. He is that word through whom all things were made. Again, no incoherent sounds, but clear words, clear teachings from Jesus of Nazareth, clear actions and living by the same Jesus of Nazareth, so again you might know of the Father's love for you. He loves you, and so he is washed in your sin. He loves you, so he is crowned with your curse. He loves you, and so he carries your forsaken tree and is suspended upon it so you might be redeemed. He loves you, and so he dies in your place and rises again on the third day in glory. The word wins your salvation by doing what you could not, proving the love of the Father to you in a tangible, physical, concrete way, destroying death, crushing the devil, and opening heaven. The word is the power of God because none but the fleshy blood and flesh of our God could redeem us. And so that ruler goes to the right place, to the word made flesh, and he says the right things, asking for a healing. And then he has his grand religious experience. Jesus rebukes him. The law must be heard. Faith must be pulled out of his own desires and grounded firmly in the word of God. And then the eyes will be open to see what the true problem is. And then the heart will be opened to know exactly what to pray for. And then the mind will be opened to know who this Jesus of Nazareth truly is and why he came. And he will approach him even more boldly and even more confidently with even more clear words that ask for far greater things than simply one healing from one particular illness. The official must hear the word of God, particularly the law, so that his own sinful heart might be crushed and he might live by faith in that word of God. And he did. It was only about 7 miles between Cana, where Christ was and where the official went, and Capernaum, where he was from, and yet he doesn't make it home until the next day. Because he believed the word of God, your son lives, on earth or in heaven. It's a bit vague, but it does not matter to the official because he knows that he will see his son again, whether on earth or in heaven. He lives by that word of God, and he goes. And then he hears that his son was healed. He believes that Christ's word is his life, and nothing will change his mind. He will not let his heart, his feelings, his mind, or his eyes distract him. So he no longer needs Jesus to come along. He has the word of God. He no longer needs to see anything. He has the word of God. He no longer needs a grand religious experience or an emotional high. He has the clear and distinct word of God, and he believes that word will not fail. God speaks. We also speak. Yes, you hear God speak. He speaks through his word. And yes, you communicate with God. You speak to him in your prayers. Like the official, you tell him the things that trouble you. You speak of your illnesses and diseases and cancer and frailty and arthritis. You tell him about your stress, your relationships, your burdens, your work, your fears, and your joys. We too ask for bold things. We too want help and relief and deliverance and longevity. We ask him boldly that he would grant us those things. Why? Because we hear his word, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. That is, I will give you life. On earth or in heaven? Yes, he will give you life. And then we have our grand religious experience as Christ speaks to us his law and his gospel once more. He rebukes us not for failing to pray, but he rebukes us for being too small in our prayers. He wants us to enjoy all that he has created for us. We ask for the removal of one disease, for the lengthening of perhaps a couple days or years in our life. We ask for relief from simply one struggle or a little less stress, when it is God who wants to remove every single disease and trouble forever. And he wants to give you joy every second of every day. And wants to crush your enemies under your feet, including your spiritual enemies under your feet, that you might have the victory over them. The more we hear God speak, the more our prayers begin to shift. And we start speaking as God himself speaks. And then we see the adversities in life as calls to repentance and faith. And then we see the joys of life as tiny little shadows of far greater things to come. The more we hear him speak, the more our hearts are filled with his word, and the more we embody that word in our lives and in our prayers. Unless you think I've somehow forgotten the sacraments, they are simply the visible word revealing to you very clearly the love God has for you. And like that official, we believe. We have life. The Son lives. Not the Son of the official, but the Son of God lives. So too shall we live. We walk away from this space with the word of God ringing in our ears, intelligible, clear words. We won't let our mind, our eyes, or our heart distract us from those words. We don't need to see anything. We have his word. We don't need to see Jesus or have a grand religious experience. We have the word of God. We don't need incoherent babble, oohing and aahing with emotional background music so we can reach some kind of joy, feigned joy. But we have the clear words of God. He has spoken, and we believe. He has saved us. Our life is with him. He loves us, and we believe that we will be with him now and forever, for we have his word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.